And welcome back to Beneath the Surface. I'm Susie Wiseman. This is KPFK, Los Angeles, 90.7 FM. Well, a few months ago, we had a segment about the misdiagnosis of returning troops with Joshua Kaur, and that segment that we had here on Beneath the Surface generated a terrific amount of email and commentary from listeners who were outraged that our returning troops, whom we're supposed to support, were being turned down from their medical benefits because they were misdiagnosed with a pre-existing condition called personality disorder, and therefore letting the military medical system off the hook and denying them benefits. Well, Joshua Kaur is returning to us today. He has just published part two of his story about personality disorder. It appears in The Nation of October 15th. The first part, What Happened to Specialist Town, was in the April 9th issue of The Nation. This one, Specialist Town Takes His Case to Washington, is in the October 15th or the current issue of The Nation. Joshua Kaur is a freelance journalist based in New York. He's a terrific investigative journalist, and I'm thrilled he's back with us today. Welcome back to Beneath the Surface, Joshua.
Good to be with you, Susie.
Well, let's just kind of update our listeners. Since we last spoke, what's happened to Specialist Town? And maybe you can just go over for the listeners a little bit what happened to him in the beginning.
Absolutely. John Town served in Ramadi, Iraq, and he was struck by a rocket there, lost a significant portion of his hearing because of the explosion, and won the Purple Heart for his injuries. But when it came time to discharge him, instead of giving him the disability and medical benefits everyone thought he was owed, he was denied those because the doctor at his army base said his deafness came from a pre-existing personality disorder.
And it's hard not to laugh when I hear that.
It's a strange diagnosis, but as I discovered in the 12 months I've been reporting on this, this pre-existing diagnosis has occurred to 22,500 soldiers. And it's a big deal because not only can they deny them disability and medical benefits for the rest of their lives, but they also have to give back their signing bonus for the years that they're too wounded to serve, so that in John's case, like thousands of other wounded veterans, he found out on his final day in uniform, he actually owed the Army several thousand dollars.
This is just astonishing, you know, and it's almost as if you can't even take that information in. You just said 22,500 soldiers. I was going to ask how many others were in the same boat. And now, of course, we know that the government is completely off the hook for the private contractors and private security forces who are injured in Iraq. But just leaving that aside, 22,500. It seems like that's almost all of the maimed who come back. It's something like, what is it, more 25 to 30,000 that we're talking about altogether?
Well, you have to remember, those 22,000 are not counted in the injured. And that's a key part of the motivation here. People have pointed to the financial aspect. By denying these soldiers disability and medical benefits for the rest of their lives, the military is saving $12.5 billion in disability and medical care. But others have suggested there's a PR motivation as well. You talked about how many were injured, how many were killed. By saying that a soldier's injuries actually were pre-existing from a personality disorder, they don't count them in the list of wounded. That dramatically lowers the numbers and makes it seem like a lower cost of war. You can simply take that cost off the table if you say the soldier was wounded to begin with.
It's just astonishing, and Joshua, it just keeps coming back to me that this whole issue is, it's healthcare stupid. You know, it's about, but as you say, this PR is just as important. I want to get back to this because it just seems like such a stretch that you could have this deliberate misdiagnosis of personality disorder for injuries that come out of wartime. And I was reading in your article that one of the excuses offered was that sometimes you just can't tell and that it takes time for the personality disorder to manifest itself after a person is injured.
Well, sort of. That explanation was given by Colonel Stephen Knorr, the chief of behavioral health at Fort Carson's Evans Army Hospital. That was the base where Specialist Town served. He was answering questions from soldiers as to how this pre-existing condition could take so long to appear. In John's case, like so many others, he served for several years with distinction, winning a dozen medals for his fine performance. If a soldier truly did have personality disorder, a very severe psychological condition, they would be too ill to serve from their very first day. They'd be unable to interact with others, unable to follow orders. That wasn't the case in any of the soldiers I've looked at in these past 12 months. Trying to explain that, Colonel Knorr said, well, a lot of these personality disorders can lay dormant. It's only when they're triggered by the stress of combat that it reveals itself. That explanation is a clean break from the accepted psychological understanding of personality disorder. And when it came about, it generated a host of angry letters from folks all across the country, medical experts.
Well, now, does that, you know, this Knorr, he's a, what kind of a medical expert is he?
He's a psychiatrist, and he's also the chief of behavioral health.
Well, this I'm sorry, just to, you know, as you said it, I was just thinking about Soviet psychiatry, you know, where dissidents were often diagnosed with delusions of reform, that, you know, and that was an actual diagnosis, and it was used by the state, of course, to imprison any dissidents. This is a slightly different manifestation of the exact same thing, is it not?
It is. You know, it's a very strange explanation. And Knorr, I should point out, has a second role in this. In addition to being in charge of these diagnoses, he was also in charge of Surgeon General Gail Pollack's review. Pollack said that she would look at a stack of cases presented to her, and after 5 months, she said she had given a thoughtful and thorough review to these cases. In the end, though, I found out she didn't give any review. All she did was go back to the doctor's office where these false diagnoses were made and said, hey, did you get it right the first time? The doctor said, yep, I did. And they considered it a closed case at that point, ruling that every case they saw was properly diagnosed. Knorr was spearheading that investigation, if you will. And that was strange for many veterans looking at this, not only because of the comments we just spoke about, but also because of a memo that Knorr wrote in which he talked about how to handle soldiers. It was leaked to the media several months ago. And in it, he advises his doctors not to trust their own soldiers in their descriptions of their disabilities. He said, we're not so naive as to believe what the soldiers tell us. He also advises his doctors to get rid of wounded soldiers quickly. In his words, get rid of dead wood. Now, this would seem like a strange person to be spearheading a review of these cases, and even more so because Knorr was actually involved in creating so many of the original diagnoses, first as the supervisor at his base, but also as a psychiatrist, he was involved in seeing several soldiers, creating them directly. The Surgeon General, Gail Pollack, had assured soldiers that they were getting an independent review by a panel of health experts. At the end of the day, it turned out it was just Colonel Knorr.
It's really an astonishing story, Joshua, of course, because it hits a segment of the population that, you know, is used. We support the troops, right? And on the other hand, because they are injured, they're in a sense vulnerable and can't really fight back. But since you published that first part of the article in April, I understand that many doctors have come forward either anonymously or not to talk about the pressure they received to misdiagnose.
Yes, I spoke with doctors who told me misdiagnoses are rampant at their military hospitals. One says he was pressured by superiors to purposely misdiagnose wounded soldiers. And the cases that he shared with me really ran along the lines of the cases I've seen. He spoke about one soldier who came back from Iraq missing a chunk from his leg. His superiors pressured him to diagnose that as personality disorder.
I mean, this is just, it's mind-boggling. How do they think they'll get away with this?
Well, so far they have. And Washington at this point really doesn't know what to do. Congressman Bob Filner from San Diego and others in Congress, including Senator Barack Obama and conservative Republican Kit Bond, they've looked at this and have been trying to take action. But as we speak, not a single person has been held accountable. Not Surgeon General Pollack for trying to lead the cover-up of this. Not Colonel Knorr, the person she tapped to lead this phony review. Not even the doctor who falsely diagnosed Specialist Town, Dr. Mark Wexler of Fort Carson. Surgeon General Pollack has been meticulous as well in trying to avoid press coverage of this. She refused to speak to me. When I worked with ABC reporter Bob Woodruff to collaborate on a Nightline report, She refused to speak to us then. And when Filner called her to testify before Congress, she refused to show up then as well.
But I understand that they made a Law and Order episode out of this case, of Specialist Towns case. Did that, you know, at least reverberate back and make the military at least try to save face?
You'd be surprised at what a broad reach Law and Order has.
I'm not surprised, actually.
Rock star Dave Matthews also got involved. He began speaking about my reporting at each of his concerts, and he drew up a petition to have his fans sign if they wanted to press for congressional hearings. Within weeks, he received 23,000 signatures, and weeks later, that congressional hearing did occur. But where it is right now in Washington, now that the hearing has been completed and word has gotten out, is what to do about it. As I mentioned, Barack Obama and Kit Bond have put forward a bill to freeze these personality disorder discharges, but that is struggling because they have not received the public support. With no phone calls from constituents, there's no pressure on other congressmen to take action. And so the bill has been dying. As a second effort, they put an amendment about personality disorder into the recent Pentagon budget, which was approved on Monday. But that measure, Susie, was remarkably weakened. In it, instead of freezing these discharges so they don't happen again, they simply called for review of these cases by Surgeon General Gail Pollack.
I was going to say, not an independent review.
No, not an independent review, and that's what Filner and others on his VA committee were pushing for. Right now, not only has no one been held responsible for this or been punished for it, but they haven't even gone back and found those 22,000 soldiers and seen what's going on, how they can fix those cases. So many of them were like John Town before the media coverage. In his case, he wasn't able to get a doctor's appointment at the VA for over 8 months, and that led to increased sickness. He was so ill following his discharge, he wasn't able to hold a job. His family veered towards bankruptcy, at one point having to shut off their telephone because they couldn't afford to keep a telephone. Well, after the VA got word from the press as what was happening, they provided a fresh investigation, decided that he was, in fact, wounded in war, which anyone looking at it would have thought was obvious from his Purple Heart. But they decided, yes, wounded in war. The Army's diagnosis was incorrect and said he was 100% disabled. A few weeks after they shut off his telephone, his family received a check for $20,000.
Wow. Well, I'm speaking with Joshua Kors. He's a freelance journalist based in New York and has just published part two of his really path-breaking investigation. This one's called Specialist Town Takes His Case to Washington. You can find it in the October 15th issue of The Nation. It's also posted at The Nation website. The first part, How Specialist Town Lost His Benefits, appeared in the April 9th issue of The Nation. You can probably also find that one. Well, Joshua, it sounds like your investigation is really spearheading this effort, and I'm certain that listeners will want to find out more about what they can do. I take it you're telling people to get in touch with their senators and congressmen to press this issue. But and has your investigation spurred others, maybe even nonprofit groups, to try to track down those who have been forgotten and cast aside to the wind, essentially, as dead wood?
Others have been pressing the issue. I was asked to speak this weekend at a veterans group in D.C., the Veterans and Military Families for Progress. They're looking into how they can support these bills and how they can reach out to these soldiers. But the military has kept the records very tight. And so no one really knows who these people are. Right now there are tens of thousands of Johntowns out there that are suffering in anonymity. And it's not until the government opens those records to an independent agency and goes out and seeks those soldiers out that there's going to be any help for them.
I wanted to ask you, Joshua,
like this in the future.
I wanted to ask you because you mentioned in your article that military doctors come forward and they have talked about the pressure they get from higher up. And you certainly talked about the role of Surgeon General Gail Pollack and others, but and that there have been some hearings. But is there any effort to really find out where this pressure is coming from, how high up, and who is accountable for this really, it's literally another atrocity of the war?
I think the short answer to that is no. Instead of coming to the hearing, Surgeon General Pollack sent her psychological consultant, Colonel Bruce Crowe. And when pressed by very angry congressmen, all he could say was, well, if this is happening, that would be wrong. He vowed to do something quite peculiar, to have the Surgeon General go back and look at another stack of cases. And Filner just boomed at him, says, don't you understand, that's exactly why we had a problem in the first place, because you said you looked at it and you didn't. You think we're going to trust you to do a second job when you didn't do it right the first time? Absolutely not. That seemed to be the consensus across Republican and Democratic bounds, but right now nothing's been fixed.
Well, what do you think is going to happen next? Do you think that there's any hope that that this will be resolved? And just finally, Joshua, because we're running out of time, you also mentioned that many of these soldiers end up owing back to the government. They're signing bonuses and other. Is this being addressed as well in, let's say, Filner and others' complaints?
It isn't. And what's going to happen from here is anybody's guess. You'll recall with the Walter Reed scandal, the Pentagon pressed for two actions, the resignation of Surgeon General Kevin Kiley, and they hired the public relations firm LMW Strategies with a $100,000 no-bid contract to put a positive spin on the scandal. What's going to happen with Surgeon General Pollack in the wake of this scandal is anybody's guess.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Joshua Kors, and I know the story's not over and that you're going to stay on it, so we'll invite you back. It's an outrage, and I'm glad you're exposing it. And that article, Specialist Town Takes His Case to Washington, is in the October 15th issue of The Nation. You can find the first part, How Specialist Town Lost His Benefits, both written by Joshua Kors, in the April 9th issue of The Nation. Just go to thenation.com. Joshua Kors is a freelance journalist based in New York. I'm Susie Wiseman. This is Beneath the Surface. Don't go away, and thanks, Joshua, for joining us.